Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Being physically blind is certainly a handicap, but what about spiritual blindness? This condition touches individuals, communities, nations, and even churches. The Israelites were notorious for their rebellious behavior. This is why Jesus spoke in parables rather than plainly stating the details of heaven. The God-man spoke of a man sowing a field and the ultimate outcome of the seeds. He also told of another man that sowed a field, but an enemy secretly mixed in tares with the good seed. In each case, Jesus provided an explanation of the parable to the disciples. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here with us today. And we're going to be talking about spiritual blindness. And before I get into that, let's pray. Those in the chapel, would you stand with me? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can look upon Jesus, what Jesus taught when he was here on this earth. And the Father God, we will understand it, we will do it, and we will be blessed as we obey the commands of Jesus and his teachings. Help me right now, Father God, to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And may each one be anointed by the Holy Spirit to hear and understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Regardless of what is happening in the world around us, and there's always going to be upheavals, there's going to be a crisis here and a crisis there. As believers, let us look upon Jesus and apply his teaching to our personal life. I cannot control Europe. I cannot control the United States. There's nothing I can control myself. But I can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, control myself. I can make a decision. I want to live a strong Christian life. I want to follow Jesus Christ. And this is really what we want to talk about here today, about spiritual blindness, and that we want to get rid of that. If you take your Bibles and turn to, we're going to go to Timothy, 2 Timothy here. And let me get to it. 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here we go. If I got to get with it here. So 1 Timothy chapter 2. And here we go. And we're going to read the first 6 verses. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is true. God wants all people to be saved. But God also has emotions. God can be happy. He can be sad. He can be angry. We are made in the image of God. And he has emotions. Jesus had emotion. He showed up when I was here on earth. The Holy Spirit have emotions. So now, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6, Old Testament. That's Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And we're going to pick it up in verses 8 through 11. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell his people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with the heart, and convert, and be healed. Now, how would you like to get a calling like that? I want you to be called into the ministry. You're going to be preaching. But the people you're going to preach to, they're not going to understand. They're not going to accept it. They're going to be destroyed. How excited would you be? Then Isaiah said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. Did that happen? Yes. Here's what I really want to get down deep in your soul right now, in spirit. God selected Abraham, a Chaldean. He said, through you and your family, I will raise up a nation. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and they became known as Israel. The Bible says that God loved Israel. He loved the nation. It was the apple of his eyes. He really cared for them. He brought them out of Egypt. For a bit of the promised land. But the people, generation after generation, simply said, we love you, Lord, but you know, we got Baal over here, and we got this God over here, and we got this there. They just added on to it, just like we've done in America. We added every religion to us and practices. And God finally got so angry, emotional, that he said, enough. The 10 northern tribes were taken out. They never came back as a group. Judah and Benjamin had about 200 years. And they simply said, oh, forget what happened to them. We're just going to do it our way. And finally said, God said, okay, it's going to be my way. Babylonians came. The people said, nothing will happen because we got the temple is here. The temple is here. The temple is here. And God was excited about the temple when Solomon built it. But God simply said, I don't care about the temple. The temple was destroyed. The people were taken out. Everything got removed, destroyed. A remnant came back. And even when the remnant was there, when Jesus came, they still rebelled. So yes, God wants all people to be saved. But when people buck him, when they simply resist him, it will come a time when he will give people a reprobate mind. And they are just totally out of oblivion. They don't care anymore. And they walk to the destruction. In Isaiah 29, let's look upon that also. That's Isaiah chapter 29. And verse number 10. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep, has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. Seers are prophets. So what has God done in America? I believe that God has simply poured out a spirit of sleep, and he closed the eyes. I see that the majority of the Christians have been blinded, and they are continuing in routine, meetings, singing, fellowship, but there's no Holy Spirit moving. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 13, which is our main text for today. So that is Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. The same day, when Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. I want you to see the picture right now. Jesus had been in the house, spent the night there. He woke up in the morning, and he told his disciples, "We're going to the beach today." Exciting. Go to the beach. So, he went down there, his disciples with him, and when people saw him, crowds followed him to the beach. In verse number 2, we read this, "And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Picture Jesus now saying, "Wow, we got that many people here. Can you find me a boat, a little fishing boat?" So they found him a little boat. He got in that. They put him out a little bit from the shore so that everybody could see him and hear him. And now he sat in a boat. And here is the Son of God, the Creator, teaching. Now, he spoke a parable. A parable is a story. And in verse number 3, he said this, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sown, some seeds fell by the wayside. The false cow devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forth they sprung up because they had not deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he said, Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And then he must have taken a pause. Because in verse number 10, and disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak unto them in parables? If I would say it in today's language, Jesus, why are you talking to them like you do? They don't understand. Did Jesus want the people to understand? And this is now where it's going to be a little bit hard for you to realize this. So Jesus answered them. And we find this in verse number 13. Therefore, let's go up to verse number 11. Let's ask a question again. Verse 10. Why do you speak unto them in parables? That's a good question. Jesus answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Doesn't sound too nice. He that has a little bit, he would even lose that. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. And we read that a little while ago. This is Jesus. Jesus loves us, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's Jesus saying, now I'm speaking to them because I don't want them to understand. Why? Because they had rejected him over and over and over again. You do that, and Jesus lose interest in you. Let me run that by you again. If you reject Jesus, you reject his teaching, you're disobedient, you break all his different commandments, he will simply say, fine, I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit is leaving. Have it your way. There's nothing worse than the person that got a reprobate mind. Verse 15. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let me read the last part. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. A lot of people today that are younger generation never heard the name Billy Graham. But Billy Graham was an evangelist in the last century. And he preached to millions and millions of people. A meeting they had usually had anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000 people. A lot of people. I came back to Christ to Billy Graham. I worked in two of his crusades as a counselor. I did follow-up for the organization. And I remember this. I was a young evangelist at that time, very young in the Lord. And I had such a love for people, I want everybody to get saved. And Billy Graham told us this. People that get saved are below the age of 40. Some people get saved after the age of 40. After 50, less people get saved. And further up, they don't get saved. They have hardened their hearts. And they kept the very good statistics. They had, you know, millions of people coming forward. And they asked their age, and so they asked a lot of questions. So in other words, and I found this out to be true, people below 40 are open to the gospel. If people above 40, they've rejected him too many times. Their eyes are closed, ears are closed, and they can't understand. And the Holy Spirit is simply cut them off, and they will go to their death. We should know that and realize that. We should warn people. if you find that somebody with cancer, and the guy says, well, I'm not going to do anything about it, I'm not going to pray about it, I'm not going to do it to the doctor, and you say, well, you're going to die. Who cares? I'm going to die anyway. I don't care. So verse 16 said this, but blessed are you eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. Do you realize how privileged you are? You heard the gospel, you believed it, you accepted it, you repented, you were born again. Do you realize how privileged you are? 95% of the American population are not saved, and they are on their way to hell, and they are happy about it. They don't care because they don't see and they don't hear. Let's turn to John chapter 1 quickly here. As the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And you might say that, well, if that's the case, why do we preach? Why do we have a webcast? Why would we do that? Well, have you ever been fishing? There's a lot of fish in the ocean. And you're not going to catch everything. You want to catch something. If you catch one or two fish, you are happy. You know that there's about 200 more down there, but you're happy for what you catch. So John chapter 1, and we read from verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. To this day, the Jews in generality reject Jesus. In the synagogue system, in the literature, they have Sabbath school, just like we have Sunday school for children. And every Jewish boy and girl will learn in a synagogue system that yes, Jesus existed. He had a power of healing, but his mother Mary was a whore. And one time when she was having sex with a Roman soldier, she got pregnant. And Jesus is the offspring of a Roman soldier and a whore. He's not the Messiah. After all, everybody knows what happened to him. You that are a Christian boy or girl, you've been told about Jesus from when you were small. And to you, Jesus is wonderful. You believe his mother was made pregnant by the miracle of the Holy Spirit. You believe that he did good. You believe he's the Son of God. Why? Because that's what you were taught. And you accepted it. And when you got older, you're going to have to make a decision. Do I believe this myself, or is it because my parents told me? Each one of us, when we come of age, must make a decision. Do I believe this? You got to make it your own. Each Jewish child in the United States, in Israel, wherever they live, they are told that Jesus is a bastard. So, when you witness to a Jew, and you say the name of Jesus, they shudder and say, don't give me that name, it's dirty. You remember what the leadership said when Jesus was standing outside with Pontius Pilate in the open area there, and Pontius said, what do you want me to do with this man, Jesus? And they said, crucify him. The leadership and the people said that. And he said again, why should I crucify him? He's done nothing wrong. They said, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. That was heard in heaven. And God said, fine, Israel, if that's what you think of me, the blood will be upon you. I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't say we should go out and do harm to any Jewish people. But you look upon history, and you will find that Jews has been persecuted, hated, run out. No one really likes Jewish people. To be truthful, it's something built in. They stay for themselves. They cling to themselves. And they hate Jesus. What a tragedy. I watched a clip yesterday of a young woman, probably about 18, 19 years old, had been to a concert in a desert. And the Hamas people had come in and started shooting them up, but she was running for her life. I saw her face. It was just this. And then later I learned that she was one of those that got taken captive, and she's in Gaza right now, sitting someplace, just to know if she's going to live or die. That young woman represents the Jewish people. What a tragedy. She has no one to call to. If she dies in Gaza, she's going to hell. Was she a bad person? Not necessarily. But she didn't know Jesus. Can we help the Jews? Yes. How do we help them? Sending more money to Israel? No. That's not help them. What helped them is prayer. Praying, dear God, open the eyes and the ears of Jewish people. There are Jewish people that have been saved. You have Jewish evangelists. We got Jewish Christian churches. Not everyone has gone bad, but the majority is. He came at his own, and his own received him not. If you turn to Romans 10. That's Romans chapter 10. And we read verses 8 through 13. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. That if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is an individual event. It is not a nationwide. It's on a personal scale. Let's go back now to Matthew chapter 13 again. Matthew chapter 13. And you know, it's good for us to really think this through. Because most of the time we just have a good time. We just cruise. And we never think about other things. In Matthew 13 and verse number 17, we read this. For verily I said to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the thing, those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now he's going to talk to his disciples. And he's going to interpret the parable. He said in verse 90, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, understands it not, Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sowed his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed at the stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon at once with joy receive it. Yet had no root in himself, but dureth for a while, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also brings fruit, that brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the question is, you will not be in the chapel today unless you had made a decision for Christ. You that are watching us today, there might be someone who is not saved that is watching just out of curiosity. Or it might be that you work either for the CIA or you work for some other organization and you are told to monitor us. Well, God bless you. Listen to what we share here with you and pray and see, is Jesus your Savior? You might get saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And stop doing what you're doing. But most of you that are watching have accepted Christ. You're in different stages of growth. And the question is this. Do you understand the parable? I think that many of us, it's so easy to get caught up in everyday life. Got to get some more furniture. Got to paint the house. Get the car. Got to do this and that, got to go shopping here, got to run here, got to do this, this, that, that, that. And that's all we do. And if you were to die today, and Jesus would ask you, how many have you led to Christ on this earth? And most of you would say, zero. I didn't know how to do it. You didn't do it. What a shame. But you had a good time. You were well. You went to parties. You had nice drives into the countryside. You went here, you went there, joined there. You have a good time. But you have no fruit. You need to change that. Let's talk about the tares in the field. We're down at the verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. Tares are weeds. But when a blade was sprung up and brought forth, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? For whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you uproot also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, we will see how this is going to play out. This is what Jesus said is about 100 years ago. Now, about 80 years after he spoke the first one about the tares. So we go to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to go to verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from his face the earth, and the earth fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's what's going to happen. On that day, which is going to take place in the future, we're going to have first the time of the Antichrist, the time of tribulation. Then we're going to have Jesus coming back, Jesus setting up his thousand-year kingdom. We're going to have a last war. And then Jesus is going to close everything on the earth. Every nation, everything will be closed down. And a great white throne will be erected someplace on this earth where there's room enough for billions of people. On that day, the people from the time of Adam and Eve to the people living at that particular time that died would be brought up out of hell. Their bodies will be resurrected. They will receive a body of shame that cannot be destroyed. But it will have so many nerves in it that it is so sensitive that you touch one of their body like they would scream in pain. We who have been died before and we've been to heaven, are coming back with Jesus, we will have our resurrected bodies. Beautiful resurrected bodies. And we will gather there to watch this. And every man or woman, boy or girl, that ever lived on earth will be resurrected together with those that survived, came out of the thousand-year kingdom of the last war. And they're going to come in batches. They're going to start with the ones from Adam and Eve first and then come back up. It's going to take some time. But at that time, we don't age. We don't get older. We're in eternity. If we are there for 10 million years, it doesn't matter. It will feel like 10 seconds. And these people are going to come up. And they're going to say, well, I never heard the gospel. The Bible said those that never heard and died, they would have less stripes, but they still go to the lake of fire. And those people that heard and rejected it would be given more punishment or less punishment and go to the lake of fire. This will be the final thing on this earth. And this is not going to be any more politics. Money is not going to be anymore. It's not. Everything will come to an end. And either at the great white throne judgment, a person will end up in the lake of fire, which is a place, closed system that will always exist. Or you will go with Jesus to the new creation. Because this earth will be dissolved. It will cease to exist. So the question is, where are you going to go? There's only two places to go. If you have accepted Christ, then you will go to heaven. So what is the gospel? Here's what the gospel is. The Son of God came down to this earth. He got a human body from Mary, and the Holy Spirit. He lived a sinner's life. He told people about salvation. And then the sin of humanity had to be paid. So he sacrificed, he allowed them to kill him on the cross. And his blood was shed for you and me. And that paid for the sin of the human race. That debt was paid for. But in order for you to get out of that debt, you got to apply it to your life. You got to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe when I ask God to forgive me and I ask Jesus to come into my life, I will be saved. I will be born again. That is your ticket to heaven. It's an act of confession, repentance, not of works. You cannot work for it. At that moment, you are born again. Let me try to illustrate that quickly for you. Each one of us came from a father and a mother. Your father supplied the sperm. Your mother supplied the egg. When these two components came together, they became a living cell. At that moment, your soul was pressed into that living cell and made part of it. You didn't ask for it. It was a gift. And then, after 9 months, you came out, you grew up, and now you're a man or a woman. Did you do any work to be conceived? No. You were conceived by others. We are conceived by Jesus, salvation-wise. He paid for it. He took care of it. And he said, all you have to do is to come, accept it, believe it, it's yours. And then we walk in that faith. That's as simple as this. That's the gospel. Remember this now, as we come to a close. Most of the people in this world, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jews, have been blinded. And they cannot believe unless the Holy Spirit works on them and give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And how the Holy Spirit work on them? When you and I pray for the lost. When you and I pray for the lost every day, say, God, I pray for the lost. Today I want some people saved. That's when you reach out. But you know what? Very few Christians pray for the lost. We don't do that. You know why? It's not in us. We pray for God, I need a new job. God, I'm in health. I need to be healed. I got need this. I need that. And God says, fine, I give it to you. But can you take 5 minutes and pray for the lost? Okay. So I'll leave it with that. Are you praying for the lost? Maybe in a day, put away 5 minutes of your day and go into your closet or wherever you are, walking around, and say, God, I don't want to ask anything. I'm just going to pray right now. I want to see Jews saved. I want to see Buddhists saved. I want to see Muslims saved. God, I'm praying for them. God, open their eyes And if enough of us do that, something is going to happen. Well, I explained to you how to get saved. You knew that. And it is up to you now to take action. If you watched us, you're not saved, this is the time to pray. And here's the good news. When we close here, the screen will change while you're watching. You see three crosses coming up. And then you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles Torrey say, "My friend," he take 10 minutes with you. And you listen to him, you pray with him, and afterwards you know, "I am saved. I'm a Christian." Will you do that today? Contact us. I'd like to rejoice with you. I'd like to pray for you, minister to you, rejoice with you. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, the last question I want to ask is this. Would you take this week to take 5 minutes a day to pray for the lost? They will appreciate it. God bless you. Here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today. And we thank you that there is still time. There's time to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we thank you for so great a salvation, Lord. I'm reminded of the song where it says, "The Maker beckoning the maid," compelling his creation to receive him as their Savior. It is a remarkable. We thank you for the faithfulness of the men of God that wrote down the word as you gave them divine guidance to write it down. So we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We thank you for our salvation. And we're not going to let the devil steal it. We thank you for endurance and faithfulness to finish the race and to not be deceived. The enemy is always trying to deceive. So thank you, Father, for that, that we can be strong to the finish. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious, I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 34th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Spiritual Blindness. Being physically blind is certainly a handicap, but what about spiritual blindness? This condition touches individuals, communities, nations, and even churches. The Israelites were notorious for their rebellious behavior. They knew God's commandments, but still liked to do their own thing and were punished accordingly. This far-reaching curse was still in operation at the time of Jesus. This was the reason He spoke to them in parables rather than plainly stating the details of heaven. The Son of God spoke of a man sowing a field and the ultimate outcome of the seeds. He told of another man that sowed a field, but an enemy secretly mixed in tares with the good seed. In each case, Jesus provided an explanation of the parable to the disciples. The God-man stated that righteous men had longed to witness what the people of that day were observing. Salvation is an individual decision, and a lot of people perish because of spiritual blindness. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1932. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org.
There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.